Okay? We're dealing specific with this thing called rejection now and how to be healed. Let Jesus set you free. Amen. You were once captive, but now you've been set free. We are forgiven. We are healed. We are victorious. We are children of God. We've been accepted by the Lord Jesus Christ. God is our very present help in our time of need. That's what the Bible says. He's a very present help. He's not way down the road somewhere that you got to go find him first in order to help you. He's right there. He's a very present help. And then the Bible says, in your time of need. Huh? So now let's deal with this thing called identity for a minute, because many times when people have experienced rejection, they have identity issues. You ever met anybody like that? Identity issues, meaning you really don't know who you are. And why is that important? Because there are some people who may have been rejected by their mother, or some sons that may have been rejected by their father. There was no father around to speak into their lives and tell them who they are. Come on, somebody say amen. Mama left, amen, and there was no mother there to tell the daughter who they are. Come on, is that right? So those who are rejected are driven by the need for acceptance of others, amen, that they lose their own identity in the process. They want to be accepted, but they've been rejected. As a result, they lose their own identity. Is that right? Mm-hmm. And so what happens as a result, they mimic the ways others act. Ever seen anybody like that? So when you don't know who you are, you're going to mimic somebody else. Glory to God. You're going to do what? Mimic somebody else. And I believe in being yourself. I believe in being who God called you to be, because you are a special individual. God didn't make no carbon copies. You are an original. You got to act like, you got to walk like, you got to talk like it. We don't need to mimic nobody else. That's right. Even in ministry, I don't believe in mimicking. No, I believe in being who you are. You can't be who you are unless you first know who you are and where you're going. Somebody shout and say amen. Don't mimic nobody else. Come on, somebody say amen. They mimic how they act. They mimic what they say. They mimic how they dress. Obviously, some people feel a sense of value because they dress like everybody else is dressing. Young people. Woo, I don't know where that came from. But you don't have to dress like everybody else is dressing. You, when you know who you are, praise the Lord, the whole group can be dressed one way, but you have your own personality. Your own identity. I want this because everybody else is wearing it. Okay, bless God. But do you really like it? Or just wearing it because everybody else is wearing it? Do you have your pants down to here because everybody else have their pants down to here? Pull them out. And come on now. Am I right about it? Yeah. Now I'm gonna go here. Y'all just excuse me a minute. I'm not judging. It's just an observation. It's just an observation. All right, amen. Praise the Lord. Do I need to go there? Yeah, I'm gonna go there. I'm going there. Bless God. I'm watching this young man cross the street. I wanted to get out my car and help this young man out, because every step he took, pull him up. I'm observing. Amen. Because our young people didn't always dress like that. How did we get from there to here? Because everybody seemed to mimic other people. People around them dressing like that. Now, mama, I want my pants so I can wear them right here. There's such a thing as a waist size. What's your waist size? Praise the Lord. Thank God for mama, because mama wouldn't let me buy those khakis that did. If it didn't stay up on my hips, mama wouldn't buy them for me. Where am I going with this? What I'm trying to say is, don't mimic somebody else. You know it doesn't look right on you. You know you don't even feel comfortable with it, but everybody else is wearing it, so you got to wear it too. have your own personality, have your own mind, know who you are. Now, if you got friends that want to do it, that's good for you. But it doesn't work for me. Don't be afraid. Remember, people who are operating in wounds of rejection, they become very passive. And so the whole group began to influence you and in how you walk, how you talk, what you say, and what you do. I was always taught to be different. They used to say, well, you know, if Johnny jumped off the cliff, you gonna jump off too? Well, no, I don't think I'm gonna jump off. You understand what I'm saying? Have your own identity. Know who you are. Praise the Lord. All right, now I'm not being judgmental. I'm just observing. I'm just observing, brother. Praise the Lord. All I'm trying to say is know who you are and whose you are. And let me say this in a moment. And see, when you know where you're going, you're not subject to go along with where they're going, because people want to influence you and take you where they're going. You need to know who you are and ask them if they want to come along with where you're going. Come on, because I remember when I grew up in the streets of L.A., praise the Lord, and there was a time when I came to realize me and all my buddies wasn't traveling the same way. Still love them, still my friend, I still say hi, I still, you know, amen, to this day, they all respect me. But there came a day, it was a very, very plain day in my life. I came to realize one day, amen, my friend got out of prison and he wanted me to go to a party, praise the Lord. And it was at that moment, just like somebody speaking to me right now, saying, wait, hold on a minute, you're not going in the same direction. Didn't make him a bad person. Didn't make him evil. I just came to realize I wasn't going in the same path. I grew up with this young man, and he's not here today. He's not here today. You know, I got friends right now that are dealing with things, and I'm seeing the results of things, and I still can minister to them. I still, you got to keep that door open. Still love them. Amen. Still love them. Still praying for them. Praise the Lord. Am I right? Know who you are. Know where you're going. Bless God. And ask them if they want to come and go with me. Come on. To my Father's house. Come on. Come go with me. Have you tried that with your friends? Come and go with me to my Father's house. There's joy there. There's peace there. There's salvation there. There's eternal life there. Come on, love there. What you say, brother? You can experience something that you may have never experienced. You've been rejected. Yeah, mama may have left you when you were 5, but Jesus is here. My Bible tell me he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's pretty close. What you say? So we have to deal with this thing called rejection, because rejection will cause a person to have an identity crisis. Amen. You'll find yourself mimicking and doing things that other people do, saying things that other people say. Come on. Does it make sense? Be the person God called you to be. Don't be going around saying things that doesn't even make sense. You know it doesn't make sense, but you mimicking somebody else, because you got to know who you are. Amen. So we can't allow this identity crisis, for those who are experiencing that, to define us. Is that right? Allowing things to define us, people to define us, places, things to define you. What defines us? Does your job define you? Does your profession, or income level, or place that you live, or the kind of car that you drive? Do that really define who you are? Does your physical appearance define you? No, it doesn't. It didn't define you. Not at all. The Lord defines you. The Lord is the one who gives you your identity. So let Jesus define you and give you true identity and thus purpose and worth. Somebody say purpose, purpose and worth. Why do we, should we overcome and deal with this thing called rejection and the wounds of rejection? Because it hinders you from having the proper view of yourself. And I already dealt with this whole idea of what's called inner healing. There's some churches, amen, that don't deal with this area, but we need to deal with inner healing. Somebody say inner healing. Inner healing. That means God comes in and heals us. We feel better about ourselves. We feel better about our present. We feel better about our future. We feel better about our life and who we are. Is that right? We think a little different. He's concerned about the inner you. That's called inner healing, to allow Jesus to come into your situation, to release you from the pain, and like I talked about, from memories and emotions that is a result of hurtful things of the past or harmful experiences that determine present condition of your self-image, attitudes, feelings, and behavior. That's pretty plain, isn't it? It is to allow the Spirit of God to heal those wounds and replace the bad with healing, assurance, hope, forgiveness, acceptance, and identity. It changes your view of yourself and allows one to see themselves as God sees them. We must realize that it is a process. It's a what? A process to remove the recurring memories, like I talked about, by applying what? The love of God. And here's another thing. And the healing balm of Gilead. Isn't that heavy? The love of God and the healing balm of Gilead. Remember, I said a open wound scars of rejection. So I heard the question asked in Isaiah 8:22. Is there no balm in Gilead? You know what a balm does, right? It's like a healing ointment, you know. But this is what that has healing. And that's what God wants us to know, that Jesus is our healing balm. He's our healing salve. Hey, amen. If you have an open wound from rejection, the balm of Gilead is able to heal you. It goes on to say, is there no physician there? Where in Gilead? Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? I want to tell you that there's a balm in Gilead to heal the wounded soul. Jesus can heal the wounded soul. Here's a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There's a balm in Gilead to save the sin-sick soul. And his name is Jesus. What's his name? Jesus. Inner healing is the application of faith and trust in the Lord, along with forgiveness and allowing the Lord's power to overrule the past to bring you into a new today and to tomorrow. It is to allow Jesus to address those issues of the past that affects our lives. Is that right? That's what we got to do. I want us to understand something. There are even people in the Bible, various characters in the Bible that's been through what you've been through. Been through what we may be going through. Such as people like David. You remember David? David was born into a very prominent family. His father was very influential. He was a religious leader in the community. He had 7 other illustrious, charismatic brothers. David. How could David rise to the place of king against the backdrop of 7 brothers perceived of being great leaders? Yet when David was born, this prominent family greeted his birth with utter derision and contempt. David was described quite literally in the psalm, "I was a stranger to my brothers and a foreigner to my mother's sons." It's pretty serious. Yeah. What do you do when others don't see you, amen, as a person that God declares you to be? How do you walk in the purpose that God calls you to when others fail to see your potential? Amen. David was rejected too. He knows what it feels like. Is that right? Yeah, that's what they end up doing. See, I mean, I'm gonna tell you, let me just tell you a little bit more. David was not permitted to eat with the rest of his family, but was assigned a separate table in the corner, treated differently. He was given the task of shepherd because they hoped that a wild beast would come and kill him while he was performing his duties. Yet God was forming him in the backside of the desert. While some may have one plan for you, God has a whole nother plan. Come on. And despite everyone around David, despite in his destiny, only one person had faith in David. And guess who that was? His mother. His mother, Nazarbat, was her name. It was a love and faith that only a mother could see and appreciate. Who else can feel the pain that a child could feel but his or her own mother? She knew the pain of rejection that David felt. And what about Joseph? He was hated and rejected by his brothers. Amen. But he was called to rule over a nation and save a nation. And what about our Savior, Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. Isaiah tells us about that. The Bible said Jesus, he was despised and he was rejected of men. Did that stop him from going to the cross and die for the whole world? No, it didn't. Because he knew who he was and what he came to do. Bless God. The Bible says he was a man of sorrow. He was acquainted with grief. He knew what it feels like to be grieved. The Bible says, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. We didn't highly exalt him. They didn't highly exalt him. They rejected him. Verse 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was rejected, yet he bore your griefs, your sorrows, my griefs, my pain, my sins, he carried. Yet the Bible says, we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. Oh yeah, he's afflicted. But the Bible in verse 5 said, but he who, the Savior, he who, the Master, he who, the Messiah, he who, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, said he was wounded for our transgressions. Now, how about that? He is still rejected. That didn't stop him. He knew who he was. When he stood before the Sanhedrin and he read from scripture, and then after he sat down, they said, are you trying to say that's who you are? He said, I am he. Jesus was rejected by those around him, by his own countrymen. Amen. Even in Luke, the fourth chapter, the Bible said, and they said, is not this Joseph's son? The carpenter's son? Mary's baby? See, people, that's why I start. People want to hold you to a place. Amen. They want to encapsulate you. They want to put you in a box. You got to know who you are. They say, this is Jesus. This is Joseph's son. This is Mary's baby. But the scripture said Jesus was the prophet of God. He was the prophet spoken of by Isaiah the prophet. Elijah and Elisha, they were rejected too, and they know what it feels like. Says, I assure you that there are many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut up for 3.5 years and there was severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them but a widow in Zarephath. Why? Because they rejected him as the prophet. Said leprosy wasn't healed by Elisha the prophet, only Naaman. Why? In Syria. Why? Because they rejected Elisha as prophet. They knew what it felt like to be rejected. And most of all, God himself know what it feels like to be rejected. Because even the people of God rejected him in the wilderness. Is that right? 1 Samuel 8:8 says, just as they have done from the day that I brought them from Egypt until this very day, they have rejected me and have served other gods. This is what they are doing to you. Psalms 106:21 say they rejected God who delivered them, the one who performed great deeds in Egypt. Jeremiah 2:13 say, do so because my people have committed a double wrong. What was the first one? He said, they rejected me. And if that's not enough, not only did they reject him, that's one thing to reject God, but there's another thing that try to replace God. There's a difference. I'm like, well, isn't that the same? No, because a person can reject God, but they don't try to replace him. They just need to find him. But if you reject him, then they try to replace. The Bible said that they have dug cisterns for themselves and cracked cisterns which cannot hold water. In other words, they try to set up a substitute for God, but it just wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. So we got to know who we are. We can't allow the wounds of rejection and the scars of being rejected and treated differently. Amen. Don't fly off the handle because you feel like somebody's treating you different. First, know who you are. Know where you're going. Come on. Let the Lord heal those prior pains of being rejected. Amen. The love of God is the greatest remedy to rejection. With Christ, we're no longer rejected. We're no longer outcast. We're not only rejected, but we are what? We are accepted. Now you can hold your head up high. Amen. No longer is there a need to walk around with your head down. Is that right? Hold your head up high. Come on. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Somebody asked the question the second time. Who is this King of glory? What is it that you're talking about? Who is this man? Who is this? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. So even if the devil try to fight to hold you back, don't you worry about it. God is mighty in battle. He can fight off every demon and every demonic spirit that's trying to hold you captive. Because Jesus came to set you free. And those whom the Lord set free, free indeed. Free indeed. We are free indeed. Come on, stand on your feet. You are free indeed. I am free indeed. Bless the name of the Lord. And I pray that if anybody in here today have been grappling with this whole idea of feelings of rejection, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord today have come in and allowed you to know that you've been set free and you're healed. I am healed. Come on, say that. I am healed. I am set free by the precious Lamb, the blood of Jesus. Yes, set free. Yes, yes, set free. Amen. Amen. Set free. Let me close with this. Maybe there's somebody in here in this place, in this room, that maybe you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and come into your life. And today you want to make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You want to be what the Bible called born again. Mm-hmm. The Bible said, marvel not, I say unto you, you must be. If you want to enter into the kingdom of God, that's not an automatic thing. Let me just say that is not an automatic thing. Somebody said, well, yeah, but didn't Jesus Christ die for the whole world? Yes, he did. But the Bible says he's a free gift, and as what? As many as received him. You got to receive the gift. Amen. Come on. As many as received him, to them gave you the power. And it takes power to become a son of God. Praise the Lord. It's not automatic. You got to receive him. You got to accept him as the Son of God. If you are that person and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal, it's a voluntary thing. And that's the beautiful thing about God. He gives us a choice. And if you want to make a choice for the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you want to live your life from this day forward, amen, for him, amen, you can do that. Now, let me say this. He doesn't make us robots. Amen. Amen. And our life, amen, becomes sweeter than the day before. Hallelujah. When you come to Jesus, he opens up to you a whole new world. Let me rephrase that. He opens up to you a whole new realm of possibilities with our God. Amen.
over here and bless God also over there. It's called eternal life. And if you want to make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you're here in this place, here in the sound of my voice, or in web land, amen, radio land, amen, you want to make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, just simply say yes to Jesus. Dear Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, save me. Believe that you died on the cross and rose again for my sins. I've tried everything that I could. It just didn't work. Lord, come into my life. Help me. Help me. Save me. I confess the Lord Jesus Christ. I receive him into my heart this day. In Jesus' name. Amen.